You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 7:06. Nice to have you here back up north on this Thursday morning, May 29th, a very short three-day work week for yours truly after Memorial Day on Monday, and I will be off tomorrow for a grandson graduating high school. Doesn't feel real to me either, but Todd Albo will be here pinch hitting tomorrow. Coming up yet this hour, we'll talk to Jeremy Gragert from Citizen Action, who brings along another guest to talk about Medicaid cuts and the real life impact on real Wisconsin families if the Trump budget were to go through as passed by the U.S. House. Now, it still has to get through the U.S. Senate, where folks like Ron Johnson said yesterday at a Milwaukee Press Club event that he would not support the bill in its current form. But it appears that Ron Johnson then, either before or after the Milwaukee Press Club event, went and spoke to the student body and medical staff and doctors at the Medical College of Wisconsin. I haven't seen a news story on it, but I've seen some messages on the text line from Matt in Germantown, and I'm seeing some chatter on Reddit as well, including a link of a recording of the Ron Johnson visit. And so we're going to talk more about how he was not really given a break by the audience, who actually laughed at him a couple of times, talking about his mistrust of doctors and still pushing ivermectin, horse dewormer, as a cure for COVID. So that's among the topics we'll get into. But first off, we've got to get to a forecast, which is going to be just glorious for the weekend. So with Parker Olson standing by in Madison, Greg Bach at Radio Park, let's go to meteorologist Brittany Merlot for more about that forecast. It is a cloudy, cool one up here this morning so far, Brittany.
Yes, it sure is. Temperatures across the state right now ranging from about 45 degrees in Ashland to 55 degrees all across the Fox Valley. Mostly cloudy for most of us across the state, even some spots near the state line far south. You're looking at foggy conditions, even some mist. Some spotty sprinkles are still occasional into the central areas of the state. And there's spots of sunshine far north into Hayward, Superior area. And what we're looking at today is spots of sunshine, still clouds hanging out there, and of course, more chances for rain. Some scattered showers and storms could spark up later on this afternoon, probably from about 2 o'clock to about six or so. We have those chances. Highs today will get a little bit more mild, upper 60s far south to mid 70s far north. But we're also looking at some patchy wildfire smoke starting to make its way into the area tonight, especially far north. We're going to see those winds start to get a little feisty. Tomorrow, they're going to be breezy around 30 miles per hour as that wildfire smoke starts to move in here a little bit. But a little bit warmer tomorrow, low to mid 70s. A cold front does sag through the state, which could spark up some more showers and storms midday. Then as we go into the weekend, much drier conditions and warmer too. Saturday is a little crisper, mid 60s to mid 70s. But as we go into Sunday, we're going to be into the upper 70s. Hitting the mid-80s into next week.
Isn't that, just thinking about how you said it was going to be crisper. And crisp is one of those, where it can either mean like cool and crisp out, or it can be like bacon that you've cooked a little too long. And you're definitely thinking it's going to be the latter. We're going to be like crispy bacon by the end of this hot spell coming up.
Yeah, we are. Summer is really going to surge in here. I mean, the humidity is going to be into the mid-60s with dew points by the weekend. So we're going to start to feel muggy and sticky. Mm-hmm. And then next week, it's going to be pretty oppressive and gross out there.
Oppressive and gross.
Can you, for Monday's forecast, just make it all food related? Like,
yes.
It's going to be oppressive and gross, like a hot steamer making rice. You know, like, I don't know. I'm better at hot buttons. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm better at hot buttons. Okay.
I just mentioned bacon, and like everything's better with bacon. So,
But true. Brittany is that mind of
oh, yes.
She could do it.
Oh, like, yeah. Totally improv queen. Yes.
I've said this before and I'll say it again. The way you sprinkle the word flirting with into the forecast, I've never heard that before. And it makes the weather so much nicer to listen to about.
It is.
Oh, thank you.
We do.
You know, you said sprinkled and it made me think of that joke where it's every time a meteorologist says sprinkles are in the forecast, there's a guy holding a donut outside of a window. Like,
oh, that's funny.
That's a new joke to us.
That's funny. I like that.
Weather humor. It's the best. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you a little
later.
All right. What a win for the Brewers yesterday afternoon. Once again, a walk-off win in the 10th inning, sweeping all three games from the Boston Red Sox. And the Brewers now have a four-game winning streak going after that 6-5 final. Caleb Durbin had a sac fly in the 10th inning that allowed a speedy Sal Frelick to beat the throw home. So that is now the Brewers' second four-game winning streak of the season. And because of it, the Brewers are back at 500, 28 wins, 28 losses, third place in the NL Central, 6.5 games back of the Cubs. The Brewers are off today. They are traveling to Philadelphia for the weekend. They're going to have their work cut out for them. The Phillies have the second best record in baseball right now and have won 9 of their last 10 games. But you can catch that series between the Brewers and the Phillies on several Civic Media radio stations, including Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. If you follow the NBA playoffs, the Minnesota Timberwolves were eliminated yesterday by the Oklahoma City Thunder. All right, so this next discussion about Ron Johnson at the Medical College of Wisconsin was prompted first off by Matt from Germantown on the text line, who also said he would be willing to call in and talk about it. So, you know, Matt, if you're still willing to, you know the number here, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm going to start with this thread on Reddit and look at Matt's comments as well. But somebody posts there, just want to say how proud I am of the Medical College of Wisconsin student body and medical staff and doctors in attendance at this Q&A with Ron Johnson answering live questions from medical students and professionals. Very surprised he actually agreed to do this in person. For not giving him a break regarding his stance on the COVID vaccine being dangerous, his support for funding cuts, and his rhetoric claiming we shouldn't trust doctors. This person says that he's been laughed at en masse multiple times and is stumbling over his answers and provides a link to the recording. And as I was looking through some of the comments, it included one that particularly got a laugh out of the crowd. He told a room of medical professionals, quote, "Personally, for me and a lot of people I know, we no longer trust doctors." He said that to a group of medical students, doctors, and staff. So Matt mentioned as well that he said that the lead crisis is best handled at the local level and doesn't think the federal government should help. Which I guess that same logic carries over into natural disasters, because you're at a point where something overwhelms a local area, a tornado, a hurricane, an earthquake, a city full of lead paint or lead pipes, which again is not just a problem in Milwaukee, it's in communities throughout the state. It's just Milwaukee's the biggest city, so you hear more about it there. But again, saying, well, everybody pull themselves up by their bootstraps. And there should be, everybody should have to fix themselves locally. Do you know what Florida would still look like right now after Hurricane Andrew, which was, what, 30 years ago, if that was the case? Or any other place for that matter. The whole notion of this country coming together with its pooled resources and helping one another in a time of need is as American as it gets. Of helping out our neighbor when their house burns down and not saying, oh, tough for you, you know, hope things get better. But Matt from Germantown goes on to say, Ron Johnson argued no one trusts medical people anymore, saying that it's their fault, not his, and that we should all work with Robert Kennedy Jr. rather than ridiculing him in order to restore trust in our medical system. He also, according to Matt's text, says this line, quote, "I've never heard of a poor person creating jobs." Wow. I've never heard of a poor person creating jobs. Apparently, Steve Jobs, no pun intended, was already a billionaire when he created Apple. And every other thing you want to list that created gobs of jobs started with somebody who apparently was not one of the poors, Mr. Bach.
I'm not poor. I will never claim to be poor, and I feel lucky for that because being poor is a heavy implication. But mm-hmm. I am a business owner, and I have created jobs. I'm not rich. I'm not super rich. I'm not a millionaire at all. And while I don't have to worry about my bills on a day-to-day basis, I'm not Ron Johnson wealthy, and his statement is both stupid and wrong.
Well, it's just repugnant on so many levels, and it's somewhat ironic, given that he was not so much born into money as married into it. And a family business that he did not start. I'm not going to take any credit away from him for anything he might have done to help it grow, but don't again give us this line of baloney that no jobs have been created by poor people. It's just ridiculous on its face. And then, of course, he went on to once again criticize the medical community for, again, not embracing horse dewormer ivermectin as a cure for COVID. Earlier, Ron Johnson told a Milwaukee Press Club event, I should say earlier or later, I'm not sure which part of the day he did these in, he did not rule out running for a fourth term. He said he was simply a guy from Oshkosh trying to save the country. I would remind people that the whole reason he ran for this third term, even though he promised he was only going to serve two terms, was he had to take care of a particular constituency. Do you remember, Greg, what that was?
The COVID, the vaccinated injured.
Yes.
The vaccine injured.
The vaccine injured. yes, Parker.
This went over my head. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, you missed that originally?
I missed that originally.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, this was a morning event at the Medical College of Wisconsin where he said this and then wound him up to go to tell the Milwaukee Press Club later on that he does not enjoy being a senator, he said, but he also said never say never when it comes to the prospect of a fourth term. Again, he wouldn't have won the third term had it not been for billionaires putting tens of millions of dollars into wildly racist ads about Mandela Barnes. That is the only reason he won. Those billionaires dragged his carcass across the finish line. This is a guy who has never been above 50% approval. He's always been underwater in terms of public approval. And yet he's won each of his three elections by, you know, criticizing the other people, those people, you people, enough that he's able to stay in office, pretend to be holier than thou, and have the audacity to go talk to a group of medical professionals, lecture them, and say nobody trusts them, says one of the foremost conspiracy theorists, not just in the Senate, but in the country. And I don't doubt that someday the tinfoil hat will be given a name in honor of Ron Johnson. It'll be called the Johnson tinfoil hat or something like that for what he's doing. But there's the story based on a couple of different folks, Matt on the text line and from another thread online about what Ron Johnson had to say in Milwaukee yesterday. Now he'll head back home to Florida. We'll pause here and thank you very much for joining us on this Thursday as we do all these weekday mornings across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back on this Thursday morning, May 29th, live from Chippewa Falls. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Parker Olson is in Madison. Greg Bach is at Radio Park in Racine, where Greg Bach will later be joining Jane Matinere for a little show they like to call Matinere on Air, with all kinds of good guests and fun things for your entertainment, listening entertainment, which today includes, well, that'd be Brittany Merlot, of course, joining you on on this Thursday morning. What else you got?
We got at 9:30 every Thursday, he's here to talk about all the law in the news. The host of Amicus, a law review, Mr. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, practicing attorney currently, and just all around good man. Tie enthusiast. So he'll be here at 9:30 talking about that. He's here every Thursday. And then at 10:30, we will have sports writer from the Journal Sentinel, J.R. Radcliffe, here to break down all the news in sports. And I think we're going to be talking significantly about this resurgence in the Brewers, which we're really, really liking. And I'm going to ask him a question I asked our other guy, Paul Noonan, last week, which is the shine coming off of Pat Murphy? So he'll be on at 10:30. And yes, as you mentioned, Brittany Merlot will be here, and she'll be on at 10:20 with Weather and Wine, expounding upon the weather report she gave us just earlier. But yeah, and then, of course, this shouldn't be a thing at the end of the show.
I'm sorry, Weather and Wine?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, we call it, because it's Brittany Merlot, we call the segment Weather and Wine.
I see. Let me give the Robert De Niro finger wag. You see what I see what you did there. And the hot buttons are still in play. Were there, in hindsight, were there any hot buttons you didn't play during last hour's rant that you wish you could have shared with us some more?
Really couldn't make Pigeon Mama work. That's a new one.
I'm going to need
that. That's for Melissa. That's for, I would say, let me see here. I think the only one I didn't get to use was... But I'm not going to play that for long because I don't want to get hit with some sort of warning.
No, you don't. You have to let that go. Yes.
Yeah, and I think I got through... Well, the only one is like, you know, this one is no swearing. Yeah. And other than that, we got them all. We got them all.
Good job. Nice. All right.
Well done. Well,
yeah. Thank you.
we say all this again. In wishing Greg Bach all the best in his new endeavors, which only means he's, you know, doing more elsewhere in the building.
Well said, Pat. WBA, where are you?
Your key will still work in the building. Yeah. Parker Olson will be doing this full time from 6 a.m. onward. Greg Bach joining us on Friday mornings and, of course, still every weekday morning for Matinere on Air. Mm-hmm. But we say all this mostly because it makes him really uncomfortable. It makes him feel like we're ushering him out the door when we are most decidedly not doing that.
That's fine. As long as I get a breakfast sandwich on the way out, I'm good.
Ooh. You get breakfast sandwiches down there?
No. Oh. I mean, I get them from places who sell them, but there's not like a hot, fresh breakfast. Could you
imagine if there was a breakfast buffet here? Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
I'd be so happy. Oh, but now I get to tell that story again. And again, apologies for folks that have heard it before, but my first radio job out of college was at what used to be WAQE up in Rice Lake. And I was a one-man newsroom up there, and the station manager said, you're now going to be doing a talk show. You're going to be doing it from Heckle's Big Steer, which was inside Cedar Mall in Rice Lake. And he said, you're going to drive down after the 7:30 news, and you're going to host a talk show there at 8 o'clock from the breakfast counter. Like, do I have to? And that's a lot of work and all that. And he's like, it'll be fun. You're going to have a good guest and you're going to get breakfast out of the deal. I'm like, okay, fine. 1 month later, the boss calls me in, waves a piece of paper. What is this? And I go, I don't know. He says, it's a bill for a whole bunch of breakfasts from Big Steer. And I said, yeah, you said I could get breakfast out of the deal. He's like, I meant you could get yourself breakfast out of the deal. I'm like, what? No, this is now part of the deal. If I'm doing a morning talk show where I got to drive to the other side of town quickly by 8 o'clock, I'm getting breakfast at the end of it.
Let me ask you. So you only got one breakfast?
No. I got a month's worth of breakfast when the bill came.
Okay. My point is, so this was what, the 80s, right?
This would be 1986. Yes.
1986. So if we're talking about breakfast in 1986 up north?
Yes.
What was the bill, like $14?
It was pretty low, comparatively. Yes, I mean,
what
it was.
What a cheapskate!
No, he wasn't. He was surprised to see it.
Yeah,
I
just want to imagine with a big cigar. What's this in front of me?
No! And I will never say an unkind word about my first boss there, because this happened, you know, after I'd been at the station for, you know, 6 months or so. He hired me right out of college. I worked for 4 weeks and then was out for 2 months with a burst appendix with complications. Needed three surgeries. So two paychecks, you know, two biweekly paychecks. As I'm looking at my second ever paycheck and I'm seeing how much they take out for health insurance, which again was like almost 100% coverage, not 80-20 coverage, like 100% coverage.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this and I'm going, I'm young, I'm healthy, I don't need health insurance. I made a mental note to cancel it on the following Monday. On that Sunday, I got sick as a dog and eventually had the first of three surgeries and a hospital bill that, again, by 1986 standards, this was huge, $20,000. Would have completely bankrupted us. I paid $25 for the cable TV that was in my hospital room. That was it, kids. That back then, boys and girls, was when we took care of our employees. And that station manager, he could have said, you know, this isn't working out, we're letting you go or whatever. He kept my paychecks coming those 2 months while I was out.
That's amazing.
And then eventually gave me a show with free breakfast. Little did he know, which who knew it would lead to now something here where I'm doing a breakfast show, but I'm making my own damn breakfast every morning. But still, it works.
Because I love the idea. Like, I'm going to cancel health insurance on Monday. Ah, I got a tummy ache.
It was. I shudder at what might have happened otherwise. Yeah. So again, my eternal thanks to the good bosses out there who take care of their people. Still ahead, we're going to have Sean O'Malley on Markets and Money. Joe Zepecki is coming up as well. Another check-in with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Remember to sign up for our newsletters at upnorthnewswi.com. More after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Talked about what's coming up on Matt and Air on Air here at 9 o'clock right after this show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I need to tell you what else is happening across the network later on. Todd Alba later on today from 2 to 4. Coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, he will have as a special guest Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And then on the Maggie Dawn show coming up at 4 o'clock, Chef Greg Leon on the no taxes on tips provision in the Trump tax bill. And why that really doesn't help nearly as many people as you might think. Also, Jeremy Janine from Urban Milwaukee will be along as well. And Dr. Yoshiko Herrera from UW-Madison, a professor of political science, will join Maggie Dawn. Then on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, starting at 6 during the 7 o'clock hour, author Laura Enright will be the guest. Learn more about all of this, all of the shows, all of the stations, and much more. Head over to civicmedia.us, where you can also listen back to past episodes of all of our shows, including this one. Let's turn to the prospect of those Medicaid and SNAP benefit cuts coming in the Trump plan that, again, every Wisconsin House Republican voted for, including Derek Van Orden from the 3rd District in Western and Central Wisconsin, who weeks earlier had this strong reaction when told about how the Republican tax bill would be kicking all kinds of people off their benefits or threatening them. Here's what he said.
I want to clear the air, and I'm going to dispel some things. If you're receiving benefits from the federal government lawfully as an American citizen, your benefits are not going to be reduced by a nickel. Okay, I'm going to say it again. If you're an American citizen that is lawfully receiving benefits from the federal government, your benefits will not be reduced by a nickel. Write that down. Okay? I was raised in abject rural poverty by a single mother. We're on welfare, food stamps, where you had a stamp, stick it on a card, go to the grocery store. I had subsidized lunches and government cheese. I was the hungry child that my colleagues are talking about. Okay, things have changed. And the same people that told you during the last budgetary cycle that Republicans are going to cut Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, WIC, SNAP, they lied to you. They lied openly to the American public. They're the same people that lied to you and are fear-mongering with hungry children and those most in need in our country. And it's unacceptable and it's despicable. This should be a nonpartisan committee. They're lying. I'm over it. Stop it.
That would be Derek Van Orden again. And he said many times since then, since the bill is passed, that anybody who claims their benefits are cut are liars. Well, since that time, obviously, there's a line that's been forming of people who would like to remind you who's the one telling the fib in this case. There's also a new ad campaign coming out from Protect Our Jobs to talk about how the Trump tax plan bill that Van Orden supported is also going to repeal clean energy investments that are going to kill something close to 2,000 jobs in his district. There's a lot to discuss here with real people who are going to feel real pain if this budget plan that Van Orden and Trump support were to pass as is. Jeremy Granger from Citizen Action joins us now, along with Sarah Ring. Jeremy, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Pat. Yeah, doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. Now, and Sarah, where are you? Are you in Eau Claire? Where are you?
Hi, Pat. Thanks. I'm in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Okay. And in Eau Claire, Wisconsin is where Congressman Van Orden has an office. It is staffed by Brian Westrate, former chair of the Eau Claire County Republican Party, and is now an official on the taxpayer paid side of staffing that office. And there have been plenty of folks and groups that have wanted to speak with the congressman or the congressman's staff and express their concerns about what would happen if this bill were to pass as is. Jeremy, can you tell us a bit more about your most recent visit and interaction with the congressman's office?
Yeah, thank you, Pat. Yeah, we, you know, I live in Eau Claire as well, and I, you know, I served 6 years on the city council here up until a year ago, and so very, you know, concerned for my community and for, you know, folks across, you know, Wisconsin, and in my role as the Northwestern organizer for Citizen Action of Wisconsin. And, you know, we've held, you know, we've been trying to engage with, you know, Representative Van Orden, and we even did our own town hall about Medicaid specifically a couple months ago. And we had a lot of folks sharing their stories there. So we wanted to, you know, we set up a meeting with his staff last week in the Eau Claire office. And it's really, you know, it's right in downtown Eau Claire, so anyone can, you know, drop by, at least try to talk to Brian Westrate or the other staff there. And it's, you know, we want to make we were hoping to catch him before the vote, but it ended up being the day after. It was this last Friday. And, you know, Brian Westrate knew nothing about what had just passed. And that seems to be kind of the theme in that office, is they just want to be, quote unquote, a sponge for what people have to say and don't really know anything about what's going on in Washington. And they, and hopefully they pass it along to Representative Van Orden. But, you know, under the bill that, you know, Representative Van Orden was the deciding vote for, the budget reconciliation bill that, you know, is now going to the Senate, that is really one of the biggest, well, I think it is the biggest redistribution of wealth, you know, proposed in American history, that really is about cutting taxes for the wealthy. And cutting Medicaid as the main way of doing that. And, you know, about 13.3 million people would lose Medicaid, according to the Congressional Budget Office, including 11,000 in Representative Van Orden's district. So we wanted to be there right away the day after the vote to, you know, say, hey, you said you weren't going to, you promised that you weren't going to be cutting our, you know, Medicaid for folks. And he was yet the deciding vote on that, yes. 215 to 214. So we wanted to make sure that we were there to, you know, with folks that would be impacted, including Sarah, who's with us. And you know, it's extremely disappointing, but, you know, the Senate will be taking this up and then maybe changing it. And if that's the case, it would go back to the House, and we expect him to change his vote to a no vote.
You would think. Sarah, you were there to, you wanted to share your story. Do you mind sharing it with our listeners of the ways that Medicaid through Badger Care and other SNAP or whatever other benefits might impact you from this bill? What did you want to say to the congressman's office?
Yeah, thanks, Pat. So as Jeremy said, I shared my story with the Van Orden staffer about how, despite what Van Orden is saying publicly, these are cuts to Medicaid and the program and will impact people like my sister, Carrie, who is dependent on Medicaid. So if I could I brought the little printout. This is what I shared at the meeting. And just to give some context, this is my sister, Carrie. She's standing here with her parents, our parents, my father, who is a disabled Vietnam veteran, and our mother, who has been a caregiver for my sister for the last 44 years of her life, and to my other siblings as well.
And so, it appears she's in a wheelchair here, right?
She's in a wheelchair. Okay. So she's been since birth. She was born shortly after birth. She suffered brain damage from multiple infections. So she's permanently developmentally disabled, intellectually disabled, will be that way her whole life. Medicaid is a lifesaver for my sister and our family because we can keep her in her home and in her community because of the program IRIS. And that is a Medicaid-funded program through Wisconsin that allows us to hire and pay care workers we trust to come into my parents' home and give my sister Carrie the personal care that she needs and the supportive care that she needs. I don't know if you could tell from the photo, but my parents are aging. They are in their upper 70s. They can't physically handle my sister and transfers. And, you know, it's hard for people to imagine, I think, sometimes the level of care that is needed for someone like my sister. So I usually say to people, imagine if you're caring for, you know, a 12-month-old infant or a baby. All the things you do for that baby, we do many of the same things for my sister. And what I would like to say is, you know, we have lots of issues already with the system. We are overstressed already. And the things in this bill, the provisions in this bill, and the cuts that will result to Medicaid are going to impact my sister and thousands in Wisconsin like her who are disabled. For example, the caregiver shortage has left us in our family. All of our siblings are filling in the care for my sister. It's a really precarious situation right now with, you know, if one of us gets sick in the family, my parents don't have care for my sister. The end result would be, you know, if one of us cannot step in, one of the family members cannot step in, she would go to an institution like a nursing home where we know her care would degrade, her well-being would degrade. And we know because we have tried it over the years. We've tried many different situations and that's what happens. She doesn't get that one-on-one care that she needs. So this bill, you know, I can talk more specifically about parts of the bill and why it makes it harder for people like my sister in Wisconsin and what cuts would do. But essentially for our family, it would likely mean Carrie going to an institution.
And in doing so, not the bill goes a step further that not only either cutting services or if there are not direct cuts, there are so many new reporting requirements, aka red tape, that people would lose their benefits. But the bill goes on to force states to eliminate their own services for disabled adults, older adults, and children. There are some folks that say, well, it's not a cut because it would be, you know, we're just giving it back to the states, and the states would have that power, but the states don't have that kind of financing. And the states would also be prohibited, for example, from any new, you know, taxes on healthcare providers, for example, to finance their share of Medicaid finance costs. Jeremy, in the short time here before the break, Sarah obviously wanted to tell her story. She got to tell it here. What is it that you hope folks hearing this will do now that the bill is over in the Senate?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Senator Ron Johnson is going to be a deciding vote potentially in the U.S. Senate. And Senator Tammy Baldwin has been very much against this. So getting calls into Senator Ron Johnson's office and also really doubling down on any U.S. House representatives would be big, because this is very likely to come back to them. I think one of the big things that I think will touch everybody in Wisconsin is that, you know, if this were to pass, about $400 million less would be coming into the state of Wisconsin to Medicaid and coming to our, you know, hospitals and clinics and nursing homes. So like, and we've had hospital closures here in the Chippewa Valley.
Oh, we know that so well. And that's exactly what these cuts would do. It is impossible, as Van Orden would say, to make all these cuts where it would only impact people who are, say, undocumented immigrants. It's just not possible. I'm Pat Kreitler. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. It's 7:52 on this Thursday morning, May 29th. We'll be talking to Chad Holmes, Sean O'Malley, and Joseph Ecke, all coming up in the next hour. Continuing our conversation here with Jeremy Grager from Citizen Action of Wisconsin and Sarah Ring, talking about the real impact of these Medicaid cuts. And Jeremy, the point I was making right before the break, again, responding to Derek Van Orden, and it's, again, not just Derek Van Orden, every Wisconsin Republican voted for this. Derek Van Orden's just been especially vocal of calling people liars if they say these are actual benefit cuts. And Jeremy, I know that Citizen Action has been doing a good job of telling people that sometimes a cut isn't called a cut. Sometimes it's such a massive reduction in funding that you can't just say that this is going after undocumented immigrants who are getting benefits when, Jeremy, that number is infinitesimally small.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the focus of this has been, you know, trying to pass, you know, costs onto the state, and a lot of states might not be able to fill in the gap, and just putting more hoops in the way for people to just barriers for folks to be able to, you know, continue to stay on Medicaid or apply, or, you know, there's, you know, they want to make it so you have to reapply or check in every 6 months as opposed to once a year. And then just more work requirements for larger numbers of people. So it's, you know, the idea is that, you know, there's some effect on the amount of people that are accessing it, and that's how they save the money.
Right. And Sarah, I'm sure you can say a thing or two about reporting requirements or paperwork or the hoops that have to be jumped through to somehow prove eligibility without the need for your sister or parents to, you know, work 80 hours a month or whatever ridiculous requirement they would put in play.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm just learning about all the paperwork, because as my parents are aging, a lot of my siblings and I are taking over that responsibility for my sister. But there's already, as has been stated, we have to prove over and over again, monthly, quarterly, yearly, that my sister is indeed disabled and is eligible to participate in the IRIS program. There's also right now the once a year to prove that you're eligible for Medicaid. And that's maybe 25% of the paperwork that goes into keeping care for my sister. And she has family that does that for her, but many other people do not have family that can, you know, jump through all these additional hoops that are going to be required. if this bill becomes law. And another thing, just quick on the community engagement requirements. Yeah, the states are going to have to take on the cost of implementing those requirements. And that means less money going to care for people and more money going into, you know, administering the program to determine who's working, who can still get Medicaid benefits, and who's exempt. And supposedly people like my sister would be exempt, but that doesn't mean she doesn't still have to prove that she is exempt multiple times a year, according to this bill.
And again, I don't say this to be flippant, but there isn't any medical indication that your sister is going to suddenly not be disabled next month, correct?
Correct. This is permanent for the rest of her life. It's brain damage.
And yet, month after month, if you don't file that statement that says, yep, still disabled, then you get your benefits cut. Where again, a politician can say, well, we didn't cut their benefits. They just didn't meet the reporting requirements. It's on them. And Jeremy, that's a heck of a way to run something that currently provides compassion, care, and coverage to people.
Yeah, and like it doesn't seem like Representative Van Orden really at least wants to understand cause and effect of what his actions, you know, can do to the community. And, you know, when we have, you know, 1.2 million Wisconsinites on Medicaid, and so like a fifth of the state's population, it's, you know, the impact could be very, very huge. I mean, there's 153,000 people, you know, about a fifth of the population of the, you know, just the third congressional district that would be impacted. So that's 11,000 people that would lose their coverage.
It seems like the kind of thing he'd learn if he had, you know, town halls and could hear directly from people or meet with people more often in his office. But that's a topic for another day. Jeremy, thank you so much on behalf of Citizen Action. Sarah Ring, thank you for joining us from Eau Claire to tell us your family's personal story. You didn't have to do that. We appreciate your willingness to share and wish you guys all the best as this bill makes its way through and hopefully get some serious modifications. But thank you for the time today.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Pat.
Yep.
Bye, Jim.
Thank you both. Good to have you here. 7:58 now, which means that we have less than 2 minutes left in the Greg Bach era of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And so we thought it would be time for a valedictory. Where Greg is like Miss America giving up her crown and putting it on Parker, we give Greg just a few final moments here to wag his finger at the camera and say,
first of all, I'm not wearing a swimsuit on this thing, all right?
Not where I thought we talked about
evening gown, maybe.
About that,
yes, okay.
No, man, I mean, I'm gonna be around. And we're going to still have a good time, but it's been a blast being here for 3 hours with you, Pat, and sharing good discussions, great laughs, and honestly learning quite a bit.
Here's the thing that Greg's not telling you. He didn't have to do. This was supposed to be this temporary thing. Hey, Greg, you're going to be doing this thing over here. But by the way, there's this new guy coming on 6 a.m. Can you be his training wheels for a while? And he was training wheels for a very long while, and that's a debt I could never repay. To have you here to laugh with and to take us through things and to put up with everything that's up here in the upper left corner of your TV screen down there in Racine. So thank you for that.
Thank you, friend. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. And it's been, like I said, it's been very, very informative and very fun and very just, I've learned a lot and I appreciate everything you've done for me. So thank you.
So Parker, no pressure, right?
You guys, you have such a relationship here. I feel like I'm breaking
anyway,
you
Parker,
up.
We got to go. We'll cover all this out after everybody. The 8 o'clock news. Craig's back in an hour for Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.